Well, it was Charles Spurgeon that once said, "We may read a scripture, but a scripture may never leave us." That we can meditate on a portion of scripture, but that portion of scripture never leaves us. And this week, this verse that we used, I think, a few years ago, as a verse for the year, is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. And I believe that this week that verse has never left me. I read it on the 3rd of June. Reading a proverb every day, by the way, gives us reassurance, confidence. And I just felt that I just wanted just to share this with you this morning, because it's so important for us to trust in the Lord with all our heart, not just some of our heart, not just some of the time, but with all our heart at all times. So this scripture hasn't left me, and I hope it won't leave you. We find it in Proverbs 3, and this proverb is perhaps a parent talking to a child and giving a child some sort of words of wisdom at the early part of their life. And if only some of us have had similar words when we were younger, maybe we would not have strayed off the pathway that we found ourselves on. But it just says in these few verses together, it says here, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." Such words of wisdom, aren't they? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. It's true, I think, in our Christian lives that there are certain times when certain scriptures mean more to us than in any other time in our lives. When we go through a time of trial, when we get to a point of need, maybe some of us get to a point of no return. The crossroads is there, but there's no way forward. Where we need something more than ever from God, and a verse comes to mind. And that's why I think it's important for us not just to read the Word of God, but to meditate on it, to allow it to feed into our spirit and our soul, that it becomes part of who we are. Many years ago, I was a Gideon, and we obviously used to hand out Bibles to children at school. We'd hand them into care homes, yes, and hotels and B&Bs and those sort of places. And we used to hear wonderful stories of people that would pick up a Gideon's Bible. And I still think you'll find them in hotels today. And in the front of the Gideon Bible, you'll find different references if you're anxious, if you're troubled. And these Bible references are there as a help and a guide. And I remember hearing some amazing, amazing stories of people that were at a point in their life where they just didn't know where to turn. And they picked up the Gideon Bible and found a verse there that really transformed their lives, turned their lives around. And they never, ever looked back. I praise God for the Gideons and that ministry. Goes on today, but I don't think any of us should be really surprised how verses from the Bible or passages from the Bible have been a guiding light through our days. And whether it's through a difficult time or through a blessed time, we find scriptures that really do lift us up and give us a real sense of purpose and focus for the future. But we read in Hebrews 4, verse 12, these words, "For the word of God is living and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword." Just think about those words for a moment. The word powerful means to be quick, to be energetic. You know, the word of God, moreover today, is so important for us as believers. We're living in a world where it's hostile in so many areas of life. Even in our country, it may not be hostility that we would find in a war zone, but it's hostile in terms of what it is to live the Christian life. And it's important for us to know the Word of God at times when we need it the most. There are two aspects of God's Word. There's the Logos, which is the whole counsel of God's Word, the whole of the Bible. And then there's the, what they call the Rhema Word, or the Rhema Word, which is a word spoken through the Scriptures that speak into our heart, which is quickened by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when the devil said about turning these stones into bread, knowing that Jesus was hungry after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, when he tempted Jesus to turn those stones, or those stones to be turned into bread, Jesus said this: "Man does not live on bread alone, but by every reed, every word, every rhema word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Some years ago, and of course every time I talk to you, it's always a long time ago because I've been around since 1945. Margaret and I were on a weekend away. It was a youth weekend which had been cancelled, but the people said you can still come and stay for a weekend, and we decided it would be good just to go away and have a bit of a break. I was in business at the time. But during this time as a businessman, I was in the process of selling quite a number of shares back into the company that I partly owned. And there were heavy negotiations going on in terms of what our worth was, what the shares were worth. And, of course, shares are only worth what people will pay for them. And these negotiations were going on quite extensively with myself and my two other partners in the business. And everything was about money, about what it's worth, what am I worth. And it must have been the 23rd of June or July that we were away, because we were reading Proverbs 23. And we read this word: "Do not wear yourself in getting rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone." And to me, to us, this was a rhema word from God, not to worry about it, just to let things take their place, and God would oversee. I have to say to you today that I was the only one in that business that came out with any sort of money. Not very much, I have to say. But with any credit, as it were, at that time. And I don't put that down to my wisdom or to anything that I particularly have felt about the business or anything I'd achieved within the business. But I believe God gave us a word to let him take the strain. See how powerful. I mean, that changed my life. That changed the whole course of direction. I would never have gone into the ministry if that hadn't gone through the way that it had. Amazing when I look back how God had led through that scripture, that rhema word that came at that time. The word of God is so precious. You see, God works ahead of us. He knows what we're going to be going through even before we go through it. And therefore, I think that rhema word for us was life-changing. It can be life-changing as we trust him in every way. So the scripture becomes more real when we need it most. I was listening to Radio 4 this morning on a program called Sunday. You may tune in about 7 o'clock, it's on. And there was a subject on a debate in the Lord's this past week on artificial intelligence, or AI as we know it to be. And there's quite a revolution going on with AI. I know some of you use it. But is it a revolution for good or is it for evil? Well, of course, there's lots of good can come from it, but there's also lots of evil that can come as well. And the one thing that really caught my attention this morning was apparently Chatbox. And I asked Jenny about Chatbox after, because I don't know what I'm talking about here. But Chatbox is offering spiritual advice. So that's going on AI and getting some spiritual advice. Now, where is that coming from? Is that coming from God or is that coming from the enemy? Because the enemy can masquerade like an angel of light. He can distort the word. Like he said to Jesus, and he spoke to Jesus, but Jesus always answered back with the word of God, with the word of God, but God says. And there are some people today that are in dreadful loneliness, and they're seeking intimate relationships with these AI bots. I mean, it's a frightening experience when you think about it. We never had that in 19, whatever it was, 40 odd. But I also think that with this sort of moral and ethical aspect to AI, there's a real challenge there to Scripture. I don't use AI for my sermons. You can probably tell that. I don't use any references to AI. But I expect today that, you know, in the days to come, that somebody could stand up and have a sermon based out from AI and just read it out verbatim. I mean, they can do that, but there's no spiritual energy in that. I don't think the Spirit anoints that kind of word. But anyway, it's happening. And I think that's a challenge to Scripture. I think it's a challenge to us as believers, because we know what's true. We know the Bible is true. And therefore, if the Bible says it, it's of God rather than an artificial intelligence made up thing. But just to kind of emphasize how important this verse from Proverbs 3 is. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. There are two words there that are very important. Ways and acknowledge. Now, of course, we all have a course of life that we've decided upon. Some of us perhaps have had our lives decided upon by situations that we've experienced in life. And not all of us, even in our long Christian life, some of us have acknowledged the Lord in everything that we do in our lives. But this word ways is that course of action that we take in our daily life. You know, Jesus, when he was speaking in Matthew 6 about do not worry about what you wear or what you eat and that kind of thing, and the pagans ran after that, but he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these things will be added unto you. You see, I think Jesus in that scripture takes away the pressure of life that we go through. That if we seek first his kingdom daily, he will make our paths straight. It's a course of action. It's what we decide to do every day. Do we put our day before the Lord and say, Lord, not my way, but your way today? That word acknowledge is a word that we get the word intimacy from. It's a first-hand experience of God. It's having contact with God at any time of day or even night. It's a prayer time that conceives and gives birth to ideas and situations that we wouldn't normally have had we relied on our own mind. And yet so easy how this word seems to miss our understanding when we try to work things out in our own strength. I am very concerned about the future, but I'm even more concerned about how we will, in a sense, manage the future as it gets darker and darker. The Bible says, where there is much wickedness, then the love of many will grow cold. I think it's happening. I think there are people that have found in their Christian lives it's too tough, and therefore they've given up on it. They've not pursued it. But I've learned over the years, when we feel like that, it's good just to press into God and to really seek His heart and His will. To know His way, to know His intimate time, the intimate time we spend with Him makes such a difference to our daily lives. And the Bible goes on to say, and by doing this, He will make your paths straight. In other words, He will sort out the bumps and the cracks in the road. He will enable us to go a certain way that perhaps we never thought about it. And it's interesting when I've spoken to different people over the years how they have found themselves on a particular road they never thought they'd even be on. And yet God has led them in this way. I was having a conversation with another minister this week. He was at a bit of a crossroads himself in terms of God leading him in a certain way. And I said, well, if God is leading you in that way, what is the alternative? And of course, there is no alternative when God is saying, do this or do that. Yet as we become more intimate with God, as we trust Him for every day, every moment of our lives, it doesn't mean to say that things get simpler, but things become easier to manage. Because we overcome, we're overcomers. We are people that can overcome situations that people without Christ, without the Spirit, cannot and will not be able to. You might be saying, well, of course, yeah, I can trust in the Lord. It's easy for me to say I can trust in the Lord until when I really have to. But it's true that with faith, that faith only becomes faith when we have to walk by faith. See what I mean? We can say we can have faith, but faith only becomes proactive when we have to walk by faith. And how do we get faith? We get faith from the Word of God. It is by faith that we're saved. It is not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. And that's what we live for, and that's what we are guided by. Walking by faith through what God says through His Word. Maybe for some of us today, to trust in the Lord perhaps is going to be the only course that you will take in the days to come. I don't know what that future might be, but I pray that it will be something that you will hold on to. It becomes a rhema word for you, a spoken word from God for you that enables you to live your life in the light of God's Word. And may that be so for all of us as we celebrate His Word today. Give Him the glory. Amen. Lord, we thank You for where we are in society today. We realize that because of wickedness, the love of many has grown cold. We realize in our own lives, Lord, how we've taken a certain path and it's got us into all sorts of trouble. But we thank You, Lord, that You put us back on that narrow road that leads to life. May we prove Your Word to be true in our lives this morning and every day of our lives in the days to come. That You might always be uplifted and be given the glory always. In Jesus' name. Amen.